as day by day I travel, I'll keep him every night and live with him forever in glory by and by. Oh, yes, I'll live in glory by and by. I'll tell and sing life's story there on high, there with my dear Redeemer, no more to die. Oh, yes, I'll live in glory by and by. The end I know is nearing, by faith I look away to yonder home's eternal, the land of endless day. I'll cling to him forever and look beyond the sky and live with him forever in glory by and by. Oh, yes, I'll live in glory by and by. I'll tell and sing life's story there on high, there with my dear Redeemer, no more to die. Oh, yes, I'll live in glory by and by. The end I know is nearing, by faith I look away to yonder home's supernal, land of endless day. I'll cling to him forever and look beyond the sky and live with him forever in glory by and by. Oh, yes, I'll live in glory by and by. I'll tell and sing my story there on high, there with my dear Redeemer, no more to die. Oh, yes, I'll live in glory by and by. Oh, yes, I'll live in glory by and by. I'll tell and sing life's story there on high, there with my dear Redeemer, no more to die. Oh, yes, I'll live in glory by and by.
Amen. It's going to be wonderful, isn't it? Brother David, if you'd come receive the offering tithes this morning. Turn over number 354 in the spiral book. That's 354. We'll start off with the chorus. I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. Those precious blood stains blood stains do. Where there's a healing, cleansing stream still flows with peace that only His redeemed can know. I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary, those precious bloodstains were made there for you and me, for all our sin, all our sickness and our pain. When we need healing, we just claim those precious bloodstains. I claim the blood my Jesus shed on Calvary, those precious bloodstains were made there for you and me, for all our sin, all our sickness and our pain. When we just claim those precious bloodstains. Amen. That's wonderful, isn't it? Let's all stand at this time. I'll ask Brother Colley if he'll come in responsive reading.
Thank you. Amen. Good morning, everyone. Blessing to God. As always, we thank Him that we're able to come together to worship. This morning we're going to read from Psalm 46. Psalm 46. Let's pray first, if we would. Heavenly Father, we are ever grateful, Lord, and thankful for your mercies, love, your blessings, and kindness, God, that you shared unto us. Lord, we're thankful, Lord, for your presence. Lord, many times we may not know, but you're still there, and we thank you for it. We thank you, Father, for protecting us from dangers and for many things that's going on in this world. Lord, for many people, Lord, have failed, Lord, to see the need to call upon you. Lord, they think that they are able to do things on their own. But, Lord, we know that it's all through you. God, and guide us and bless us. Teach us to love one another, to love those that love us and to love those that don't. God, for you are ever kind unto us. For you came and suffered on Calvary and gave your life that each of us, Lord, could have eternal life. And we thank you for it. Remember those in the Sunday school classes, and just remember our pastor, Brother Dale, as he prepares to bring unto us. Lord, we may receive that which we need to hear. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble.
Therefore, we will not be feared, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea.
Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah.
There is a river, the stream whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High.
Hallelujah.
God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her in that right early.
The heathen raised, the kingdom for moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah.
Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth.
He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire.
Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth.
Amen.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Amen. God bless you. Be seated.
Turn over to 360 in the spiral book. 360. Greater is he that is in me. Satan like a roaring lion, roaming to and fro, seeking whom he may devour, the Bible tells us so. Many souls have been his prey, to fall in some weak hour, but God has promised us today, his overcoming power. Oh, greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. On the day of Pentecost, a rushing mighty wind, well, it blew into the upper room and baptized all of them with a power greater than any earthly foe. And I'm so glad I've got it too. I'll let the whole world know. For greater is he that is in me. In me, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Satan, like a roaring lion, roaming to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. The Bible tells us so. Many souls have been his prey, to fall in some weak hour. God has promised us today his overcoming power. Well, greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. On the day of Pentecost, a rushing mighty wind, well, it blew into the upper room and baptized all of them with a power greater than any earthly foe. And I'm so glad I've got it too. I'll let the whole world know that greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen. Let's look over to 364 across the page. In times like these, we need a Savior. times like these. You need a Savior in times like these. You need an anchor, be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips that solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, He's the one. Turn over to 372. That's 372 in the spiral book. You ask me why I'm happy, so I'll tell you why. My sins are gone. You ask me why I'm happy, so I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. Ask me where they are. I say my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. Was at an old time altar where God came in my heart, and now my sins are gone. The Lord took full possession, the devil took.
did depart, and I'm glad my sins are gone. There underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn, in the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. When Satan comes to tempt me and tries to make me down, I say, my sins are gone. Well, you got me into trouble, but Jesus got me out, and I'm glad my sins are gone. There underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn, in the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. Well, I'm living now for Jesus, I'm happy night and day, because my sins are gone. My soul is filled with music, with all my heart I say, I know my sins are gone. There underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn, in the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone.
Amen. Let's turn over to 381.
This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Well, they're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. I've fixed it up with Jesus so many years ago, and I know he'll see me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home. Saints on every hand are shouting victory. The songs of sweetest praise drip back from heaven's shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Well, oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angel beckons me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Well, just over in the glory land, we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. The songs of sweetest praise drip back from heaven's shore, and I can't feel at home world anymore.
Let's look over number 388. 388 in the Spark Book.
Once like a bird in prison I dwell, no freedom from my sorrow I felt. Then Jesus came and listened to me, and glory to God, He set me free. He set me free, yes, He set me free, and He broke the bonds of prison for
some word now.
Amen.
You ready to hear the word?
Amen.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Thank
you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Yes, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Open the eyes of my heart.
I want to see you. Yes, I want to see you.
see you. Amen and amen and amen. I want to see him, don't you?
Amen.
Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like, turn in your scriptures, turn to where we've been reading Ephesians 1, and we'll go to Philippians 2. Ephesians 1, Philippians 2. Now remember, this coming Saturday at Brother Tony's will be the fellowship meeting, and it starts at 3:30. So if you want to go with us, just be at the house about, well, we don't have to be as early, but we'll still eat going down the road, leave about 1, 12. Leave about 12 from the house. So if you want to go with us, let us know, and that way we can eat together, fellowship, and go down there to Brother Tony's to the meeting. He told me there's a brother out of Florida, Westcote, is that what it is, Brother Joe? Yeah, he's going to be preaching. I believe that's right now. Don't quote me, hold me to it. But
West Palm Beach?
Yeah, that's it. He's going to be ministering, all right? So just remember that. Now, remember, we're having only one service today. We'll be eating together. We want everybody to fellowship together and all and just have a good time together and all for Thanksgiving time together. So remember that. All right. Now, I know you've already prayed for these, but remember Brother Donnie, Sister Susan, remember Ricky and Tina and all of the Fabois family in the loss of the little Ricky there. And just it'll be this afternoon, I'm back. 3 o'clock, I think. So remember, just pray for them, you know, and all the times, a hard time. So remember that, all right? Remember, oh, now not this coming Wednesday, but the next one, which would be the 25th on coming up to Thanksgiving on the 26th. Remember, we're going to have not this coming Tuesday, the next Tuesday will be our services of that Thanksgiving week instead of on Wednesday, all right? So that way you can, you know, be with your families and the things on Thursday. So we're trying to make those. We'll be changing the others, too, you know, to fit. All right. I wanted to say something, too. I was going to do it Wednesday, but I really appreciate these kids for what they're doing of learning and doing the music, and they're in here doing and learning and doing and practicing and things. And, you know, kids, we appreciate you. We do. Let's give them a good hand. Because you are the future. You say, well, we don't plan for the future. Well, he that don't plan for the future don't have anything when the future gets here. Right? If you ain't going to plan for the future, give me all your money, and I'll just spend it for you, and you don't have to plan for the future, okay? You know, silly, right? But, you know, so we plan for the future with the kids, but we appreciate all of them. They're doing, and the Lord willing, I've talked with them about it. I hadn't mentioned it to Nyla, but Josiah came up there the other day playing the drums, and Nyla's been playing the drums and doing things, so we're going to kind of let them on the Wednesday night services have an opportunity to play the drums. Brother Ryan, I've talked with him, and he's going to, you know, work with them, you know, training them and getting them ready. But they'll be kind of rotating the Wednesday night services to play the drums. But we appreciate all of that. We've got a lot of kids up here. We've got, you know, Brother Bob's two kids there, Esther and Zach, are there. They're up here playing and doing. And we're wanting them to learn and do the things. And we appreciate anybody. You know, Brother Donnie's been working with some of the kids and trying to help them. And we appreciate that. Because it's wonderful to be able to let those kids have a part to do in it. Because, you know, you can't say, well, we're going to get out of here next week. That's what's wrong with a lot of people today. A lot of people has not planned in any form, you know. So they thought, well, we're not going to live. Ain't no need in paying Social Security. We'll live off the land. We'll do that. Well, go live off the land. But, no, you're running dry in the end time, right? So, you know, do what you want to do, but just remember you, Brother Branham said what? He said, if you're planting potatoes, plant your potatoes. Okay. You know what? Somebody can eat them. You know, some of your family might want to eat your potatoes that comes up if you're gone. And if not, then we eat the potatoes. You know, why be all of this? Well, we ain't going to make no plans. I've heard people say it, and that's your business, up to you. I ain't going to buy no grave plot because that means I'm dying. Well, go ahead. I don't have one either, but there's one thing about it. I got enough money to make sure that I can buy one when it does come to that, you know, because if I die, I'm going to need a grave plot. So what's any problem? Everybody's got all this super-duper faith. And I enjoyed, I wanted to say this, I really enjoyed Brother Joe this past Wednesday. I thought he'd done a good job ministering on faith. We got to talk a little bit and do it, and I really enjoyed that. Okay? Now, we've got all the announcements. Oh, Brother Forney will be with us, the Lord willing, the Sunday after Thanksgiving. So remember that. Okay. Father, we thank you for this day and your love and your grace unto us. Thank you for everything. And we just appreciate you, Lord, because you're the one. You're all of it, not us. But we just gather together at times to have fellowship one with another around your love and your word and the guidance, Father. And we ask you to help each one. And, Lord, just be with us and teach us your love and your grace because we believe it. And forgive our sins. Cover us by the blood. And let your light shine, Lord, that we, Lord, may be able to walk in that pathway that you'd leave for us. Have your way as we read your word. You come and speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Paul here says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings, were in heavenly places, were, or in what? In Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. All right. Philippians 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought with his mind. Right? He thought with his mind. Are you with me? Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. You know why? Because he was God. That's why he never had a thought to be contrary. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, I've always tried to keep a middle of the road because my wife, she gets on to me all the time. I like to ride over next to the center line. You know, where's all your potholes? They're generally over on the side. So I want to stay over away from the potholes and run next to the center of the road. I do get back when the traffic comes, you know. I do watch that. But I try to do that in the natural, and I try to do it in the spiritual. And, you know, you may not agree with the way we do things here at Lula about Christmas, that we don't argue with nobody about it. We don't try to produce this or that or the other. We just simply have a good time in Christ around Christmas time, and we don't put up the Christmas trees in the church and don't have Santa Clauses, and we don't do those things. But we do eat and fellowship together and try to do those things. All right? Some people don't believe in that. So I've always said to the ones who do put up your Christmas trees in your homes, don't make no light of some that don't want to put up one, and vice versa. You know, if you don't put it up, don't make no light. It's none of your business. That ain't your home. All right? And that's the way we do. You know, and people have said, well, you're too much of this, you're too much of that. Well, why not? That's the middle of the road. Because I can prove this side and I can prove that side. What's, you know, which side you going to take? Well, you're going to be walk-sided. So that's all right. That's your business. But we don't emphasize that. We emphasize Jesus Christ. We try to emphasize Thanksgiving as doings and all, and we eat together. We do not eat in the church. We eat down in the bottom of the church, which is the only way, because we can't afford to build no fellowship hall. And we eat in the bottom of the church, and we don't come upstairs with our food and eatings and things, because that's not right. But if that's the way you believe it, okay. But just don't forget. Just don't worry about it. You know, I'm not against anybody either way. It's just, we just do what we're going to do. And you make light of this or that, and you say, well, you told me where any of those things going to put you in the rapture. Then I'll be glad to follow whatever you want. We use the many cups for our communion. Where other churches has one cup. That's your business. That's your church. This is our church. This is our business. And the only one I asked, and I knew, but I asked Brother Moat when we was talking one day in a meeting, brothers was, it was talking about, you know, we're supposed to have one cup. I said, Brother Moat, what did they do at the tabernacle? He said they had many cups. You say, well, I know where the quote is. Yeah, I do too. Where Brother Brandon was talking about one cup. That's fine too. So whatever you want to do. But why not be in the middle of the road? And that way you're not hurting to anybody. You know, just be yourself and be what you are. And that's what I try to be. But then, you know, don't make nobody lost because they do one thing, or don't make them saved because they don't do, or vice versa, whatever you're going to do. Just be yourself and forget it. All right? And just let everything go. Okay. Now, all right. But now, what have we been talking about? What was this last Wednesday? I mean, this last a couple of weeks ago. Talking about our representation in heaven. Now, what is your representation? Remember the little woman? Brother Brown said she had representation in heaven. But he said, now the Pharisee, the priest and things, he said he had no representation in heaven. All right? Now, is it that the Pharisee was not known of in heaven? No. No, God knew all about him. But why would he emphasize that there's no representation? What is it then? What is your representation? Somebody represented you. All right, according to the Bible that we've been through and doing, that the Bible says the book of the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. Amen. And names were written there. Amen. The prophet said if your name was not written there before the foundation of the world, it will never be written there. There is no additions to taking that part of being bride. All right? Now, so then that way, see, our representation in heaven is our name that is written in the book. All right? So the little woman at the well, her name was written in the book. All right? But the priest, or who he's referring to there, you know, his name was not written in the book of life of the Lamb that was slain, see? All right? So then our representation in heaven is what we preach, that message of chosen in him. And see, then our names had to be written there before the foundation of the world. Or like I said, the prophet said it will never be written there. All right. So then we are not going into the point of like the world takes the word predestination and makes it to the word to what they want it to be. We're going through the truth of the Bible to what I believe it is. I believe all of those things are truth. I believe your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. I use that because it technically says the book of the life of the Lamb that was slain, and then, you know, that way it is truly doing. All right. And I believe in being chosen in Him. I believe in the point that if you have eternal life this day, then that eternal life always was eternal.
Amen.
All right? Now, but the person does not come predestinated eternally from God, 154 Church Age Book. It's the word or seed that would come predestinated eternally. All right? Then we don't lean so much on, well, oh, you know, like I was thinking this morning about it. People would say, well, you know, brother, I'm just getting this thought. I'm just getting these thoughts about how I was back there. Well, that's kind of what Napoleon done, you know, when he kind of had his, remember the story, put his hand in, believed he'd been somewhere before, lived another life. Be careful how you do that. Now, to believe that the Bible says, you know, that the morning star sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy before the world ever begun. That's not just my thinking. That's the Bible.
Amen.
Which we're supposed to believe. All right?
Amen.
Now, see, then that way it's not just well, my thoughts. No. The Bible says that my thoughts are not your thoughts. It says my thoughts are so much higher than your thoughts until your thoughts are really not even in the picture. Just paraphrasing it a little. All right? See, but doing that, then we tried to cover the whole thing. I don't believe you came into the world with eternal life dwelling in you. If you did, Jesus Christ never had to die. You've got a problem. All right? And that would make you, you know, eternal. And that would not work. I believe you must receive eternal life.
Amen.
Because we fell from that position to where that we should have come to the fact of sin and must be born again.
Amen.
All right. So then when the prophet would say, you always was eternal, go back and read what he's, read the book, read the message.
Right.
He said, if you have eternal life.
Amen.
Because he can't be saying at one time that you must receive eternal life. And then at another time saying you always had eternal life. Because that's too much contrary one to the other. You know? So he must be explaining something unto us. To where that it takes the entire message to be, well, I know what it is because I know the way people think. Well, Brother Branham, in his early ministry, he didn't know what was going on, but he got straightened out in his late ministry, you know, and he really was a prophet then. I understood him to say that he was born a prophet. I didn't understand him to say he had to become one. But that's all right. But see, that's what I believe, that my representation in heaven is what he's looking at. But then one day on earth, the earth must catch up with what's in heaven. You remember about 10 years ago, 20, I preached a series called Matching Pieces. And, you know, that series to me, I believe, was a great one for me to talk about because, see, I believe when Martin Luther came on the earth that God was waiting for the man to get to the right age and the right mentalities and the right things and the situations. And then he dropped down the message of the just shall live by faith. You know that was up in heaven before the foundation of the world. And all right. Now, in that then, when we match what God has spoken, because that's what I want to deal with today, and you'll see me, the first part of the message will be, like Brother Brown said, when God says it, there's nothing in the world can change it. Nothing. All right. So then when he said it before the world, when he had that thought before the world, there ain't nothing could change that thought.
Right.
He can't have a different thought because his thoughts are eternal. All right. When we match, you want to know from me what I think will create or bring a rapture into being? When you and I match what God has said in his word that we have to be.
Amen.
Now you tell me anything else. You waiting on a bus to pull up? You know, you're waiting on time to run out. You're waiting on a woman to be in the White House. You're waiting on Russia to come down. You're waiting on this. All of those things has got their place. But I thought the prophet said there wasn't but one thing that he saw holding off the rapture. And that was the what? The readiness of the bride. All right? So then in that we must have the word revealed to you and I, because there, now watch my emphasis of laying it. The just shall live by faith was in the Bible. The apostles taught it. It was there. But yet the understanding of that had been taken away from mankind and brought into a works and a different situations and a penance and a doing this and a doing that. You know, all right? Then one day God opened that scripture. And that's what I was enjoying about Brother Joe talking about now, because that's what it says. Now faith is the substance. Well, I believe in a now faith substance. I believe in what the Bible said. He that believeth to God, he that believeth in God must believe what? That he is, not he was. Amen. He was is fine, or will be is fine. But what about is right now? I believe in a personal, present tense God to bring the word unto us. All right. Now, see, then when my representation that was in heaven would catch up with me on earth, then things can start moving in the way that God wants it to move. And when that comes to a finish, then one way or the other, we're going out of here. Either age will take us, or one day a rapture will come to those that are predestinated, because that's what your prophet said. Only the predestinated are going in the rapture. We'll get those quotes as we go along further into predestination. Well, that means you got something predetermined. Well, no, I just got the right definition of the word. Because predestinate means to predetermine. And if you don't believe that God was capable of, before the world, of knowing what would happen in the world after we would get here, then your God has a peanut brain. That's the best way I can say it. Sorry to hurt your feelings. I'm just too blunt, I guess. But that's the way it stands. You know, if you can't believe him to be like that, what kind of a God do you have? What is the situation and all? All right, Richard, we might need a, some are fanning, some are hugged. Okay, where's Richard? We may need a, or Aaron one. Both of them's done disappeared. Yeah. We need somebody to click on the air. Okay, so maybe. All right, but now, what I want you to do with me today, I may go over a few minutes past 12, because we're going to eat together, you know, no problem, all right? No evening service, so we don't have to worry about it. All right. But I want you to think with me of the background that we've brought and the things up to the point. But I want you to deal with me as we think about the mind of God, or in his mind. All right, we've been over it many, many times to cover it. And you'd say, well, as long as I'm in his mind. Well, Judas Iscariot was in his mind. Adolf Hitler was in his mind. Everybody that would ever be in the world was in the mind of God before the world ever begun as his thinking. We will get that in a next message coming on. But I'm wanting you and I to do, like, and we'll read it in a minute, where Brother Brown says, in the back part of God's mind. So while we're up here in this heavenly atmosphere or heavenly places, as we read in Ephesians, why don't we think about that God in his mind, not just something he thought of, right? That's fine. That's wonderful. You know, I'll just say, well, he thought of this, he thought of that. That's good. But that'll never bring you to the right understanding, I don't believe, of the fact of predestination, because that way it would be just as much on thinking of Jacob as it would Esau. And by thinking that away, then Jacob, you know, would be in bad shape because Esau is a better guy.
Right?
Right? Sure. Better man than the thing. So then are you going to base it on goodness or badness, or what are you going to base your thoughts on? And all right? But see, that way we can cover the entire message. We don't have to drop off here and leave off some here and do it. I like what Brother Branham said. I didn't give him some of these now, but he says on paragraph 35, as I thought on my way, he said, we need to alter our thinking. That's his word. We need to alter our thinking. And then if we alter our thinking, we will be thinking as he thinks. See? If we alter our thinking, we'll be thinking as he thinks. Because remember, our thoughts are not too good.
Yeah.
See, the best we could do with our thoughts wouldn't be anything worth anything. All
right.
But now, what about this mind of God? What we read is, Paul said to the Philippians, let the mind that was in Christ. You know, we'll get to that in Corinthians 2. And it says in 1 Corinthians 2 and 16, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now, all the people of the world don't have the mind of Christ, right? Who's he talking of? The Bible's only written to Christians, right? So the Christians are the ones who have the mind of Christ. That's not a head brain transplant. That is a new birth in the soul to bring you to that place. All right. But we do have the mind of Christ. Because without the mind of Christ, we would not be able to understand anything that would be in any way relation to the mind of God. True? Because is that what the Bible said? No man can call Jesus the Christ. What? Except it be by the Holy Ghost that's dwelling within him. All right? Because that way you're only saying what somebody else says, somebody else's mind, somebody else's thoughts, somebody else's ideas. But once it's personal to you, see, then you can say, I have the mind of Christ. And I agree with Brother Lee Vail. I heard him speak it one time. I thought it was a good point. He said, if we do need a mind transplant. That's true. If they ever get where they're going to do those, I'm going to apply for one. They've got hearts and kidneys and everything else, but if they can ever give you a new brain, I'm going to put in for one. All right? But think about it now. I'm not talking about now in the services. I'm going to repeat this. I'm not talking about just God thought of this. Now, we went through service after service talking about his attributes and that they were part of him. And he never gained new attributes coming down through time. He just displays them. All right? Now, then in those attributes, and Brother Brown said, that's his thoughts. All right, his attributes, that's his thoughts. So it's just not, as I said, him setting up for, well, you know, I could do it this way, but I better do it that way, because if I don't do it this way, they can blame me for this part. And the thing can't say, why did you form me? You can't argue that. So God is not like that. And you remember where it is in the Church Age book? And we'll give you a quote in a minute where Brother Brown said he's referring to it being like a man with a blueprint. But what does he say in the Church Age book there? That 154, I think, or maybe 149. He said, it's not like a man with a blueprint that sits down and figure out what he's going to do. He said his thoughts are eternal.
Amen.
All right? So then whatever he ever thought of you and I, you know, well then thinking that away, that's it. Because he doesn't change his thoughts. Now, it is not that God determines something and makes it happen that way. No. All right? But he knows and will, it will be determined. But remember, we're talking about a seed coming predestinated eternally. Not a person. All right? So get yourself out of the way and talk about the seed or word. All right? Now, we've been dealing for quite a while with Genesis 1, 26 and 27, right? Let us make man. And he made man there. He didn't just make one person. Because even the man that he made Eve too, because it said, let them have dominion. All right? So then, as we'll read, the prophet said, she was in that creation back there. He said, and she had to be then in this creation down here in flesh. But we just deal with Eve as coming into creation in flesh. We don't bring her back far enough. All right? And see, then that way we're limiting the things. And like I've always said, the women are just a piece of hamburger meat or a good old thing. And we're us men, we're great big something, you know. No, that's not in the Bible. So I would advise you, I'd try to get away from that, of the honcho muncho. You ain't too much of a honcho and not much muncho either. Because if you can't think correctly, the thinking is better than the doings. Doings just, okay. Listen, what do you think about when you would say the mind of Christ? All right? Now, our human brain cannot be the mind of Christ. So then the mind of Christ would be, as the scripture said, the mind that would be in him would have to be in you. And we read here in our scriptures in Philippians that the mind that he had, in that mind that he had, that doings, he was not two gods or many different. It was God in another form to step downward, to coming down to condescend to earth to where it could happen. But it was the same mind all the time. And that mind is eternal. Now, everything God thinks of is not eternal. But his thought is eternal. He can't turn around and say, well, you know, well, what it was, Brother Dale, his mind. No, his mind is eternal. Amen. Because that's where he decreed before the world, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated, before they ever came into the world. So then his mind. And see, then we established what we were talking about, that if the mind that was in Christ be in you, then it's not a brain transplant. It is the baptism of the Holy Ghost, eternal life into your soul. And that's the only way you can have the mind of Christ. It's by the new birth. All right. So we are still dealing, as Paul was saying in our scripture we've read over and over, that we're together in what? Heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And knowing that, being that, then, to be not just what God thought of, but to be a very part of the one that was doing the thinking. Amen. I've always said that 40-something years that I've been preaching it and believing it. I don't want to be a thought in God's mind, because Judas was one. I want to be a part of the one that was doing the thinking. That way, I can be a part of him. That way, as we'll read in a minute, you could be an offspring. You could be an offspring of God. Right? All right? You can be heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. By having this mind, new birth. See? The new birth brings to us his mind. Amen. Yes, and still it must come to us in baby form. Right. because that's what the Scripture says, you know. All right. It don't come to us in the full manifestation of the stature of a perfect man and things. You must be born again at faith and grow up the stature of a perfect man to come out to the headstone, which is love. All right. Now, but think about it. Before anything ever was in the world, he was self-existing. Right. Now, which means simply dwelt alone. All right. But in him was attributes. Okay. As I said, he didn't become that later as he comes on down. No. In him was those attributes. Yeah, but there wasn't nothing back there to be sick. That has nothing to do with it. You give him the right of being what he is and bringing it down to the right place where he can, we're the manifestation of those things. All right? But he was self-existing. And as him being self-existing, there's where I want to go back to the thought of while he was self-existing, that he just didn't think of what would take place. As far as he's concerned, it has already taken place. Can you go that with me? As far as God is concerned, once he thought of it, his thought's eternal. Now, can it be changed? No. No, that's not. We don't want to get into those things, right? He doesn't change his thoughts. He knows exactly what we'll do. Yeah, but there's a time in the Bible where he extended a man's life. Yeah, and he knew he was going to do that. He knew he was going to do that, so that's not no proof or a point. But listen, we don't get nothing this morning. I want us to deal with thinking about how that God before the world, all of these things that would ever come, he would truly know. All right? And as it would do, then truly he could, as we would think of later when we get into foreknowledges and things, right? That he could look through time and see everything. That's wonderful. Would you agree that he could look through time and see everything? Now, you ought not agreed with it. You know why? Because if he knew everything, then he could predestinate. And he could predestinate a seed. See, at the same time your foreknowledge brings down everybody, God had something deeper in his mind to think about. We'll read in a minute where the prophet said what? In order to let himself be expressed. Right? Don't you think that God before the world then could predestinate a seed? Do you have any problems with it? But now, like I said, when we get to the point of another message or so, we've got to discuss one thing, that he had to allow you and I to fall. And put us all in the same category of everybody in the world. And then let it be by choice. Or else he's a respecter of persons. All right. So don't get the predestinated seed too much in your thought, even though Brother Brown said it was what? Put thy when? Before the foundation of the world. Well, that was just in God's mind. That wasn't what your prophet said. See, we want to try to analyze the situation instead of taking the Bible and the prophet's message to come out with the center of the road and follow the line. Right? See, then don't just think about, well, foreknowledge, you know. Because we're going to get to foreknowledge. You know what foreknowledge means? It means knowledge before. Now you tell me that you... You tell me he couldn't set back before the world and know everything. But you tell me he couldn't set back before the world and predetermine the seed to come.
Sure.
Yeah. See, it all goes together once we get it in the right order. And get away from our previous thinking of predestination means, well, God done the choosing, he stamped it, that's it. Ain't got no choice, we can't. No, he can't do it that way. But yet, don't you believe that God could have known what would happen had sin not entered the picture? Are you going to tell him he can't know that? I mean, are you going to tell him, really, well, God, you couldn't know what was going to happen? No, he couldn't. Because you know, yeah, he could. Joyce, he could have known if you'd have married old Joe McGillicuddy. And how many kids you'd have. You don't think like that about God? No. All I think about is just that he knows who I'd marry. He knew who you'd marry if you didn't marry the one you married. Come on, what are you limiting your God for? Now, of course, we know that he knew it would happen that way. And poor old Danny would get into the situation. You know? And, right? But you see, you say, well, you have too broad a mind about your God. It's not broad enough, folks. Our minds are not broad enough to even comprehend God. All right? So don't accuse me of that. Just let me be what I am, a nut. Okay? But now, let's think about this mind of Christ. And Paul would say, we have the mind of Christ. But he's not talking about, I had the mind of Christ. He's talking about in the new birth, right? That we have the mind of Christ. We don't have the mind of Christ before we have the new birth.
No.
Well, I can just feel it. I'm just getting a little touch of it, Brother Dale, after you're preaching that I was back there. Well, just don't get too much into your mind on it. Let's stay in the Word. And then you don't have to worry about it. All right. So let's just read some things Brother Branham had to say, and then we'll never get through on the thought, but it's all right. Because my intentions is to try to get you and I to thinking about that before the world, God was there and he knew everything and all he was doing, but he'd already pre-planned something.
Right.
Well, now, wait a minute now, Brother Dale. If he pre-plans it, as long as he don't pre-plant a person, he's all right. He can pre-plant a seed. As long as he don't pre-plant a person. Now, you going to tell him he can't pre-plant the Word? Now, you going to tell me that he wouldn't know what the Word was? That's what I've told you. You have all kind of translations, and I don't mean a Schofield now. I mean that, not that, but we have now what is known as the King James Version of the Bible. All right? There's some little things in there that you can argue the points of the doings, but may I quote the prophet when he would be the one, it says, you don't use this, but you use it. But he would say that the ands and the buts is in the right place. Now you argue with him. I believe this, not the King James, but this Bible that you and I have was the original in God before the world. You say, well, you're putting it too close on the King James, huh? I'm putting it on the Word of God. All right? That in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All right. Is it not that God would be capable of bringing us the correct understanding of His Word?
Right.
Did you follow me? You don't think that your God could bring you a correct understanding?
Yes.
May I quote it this way? The prophet used this King James Version. And you know, God vindicated what he said out of it. Well, that's the reason I believe it. I believe we now have. May I quote the prophet? How is it? Let's see if I'm about to paraphrase it. But we have the perfect interpretation by divine vindication, or is it backwards? Which way? All right. See, so you put it in the correct order. Plain language. We have God's Word. All right. Now, in doing that, then, all we got to do is believe God's Word and let Him take care of the rest of it. All right. See, you say, well, some of the other translations are better. I'm no argument. I'll even state it, because I always have, that Brother Branham says the Lamza translation is exactly with the King James. I cannot read it and follow it that way. I'm honest. But yet he said, you know, the Lamza translation coming right straight out of the low Yiddish, the writings and the things. He said it was the same as the King James. I'm not arguing with him. I'm just saying that I don't have to have a good news for modern man to change the wording. All right? And I'm not meaning that the Lamza is a good news for modern man. I'm just meaning that when he said that, I've got the Lamza translation, but I still, in reading it, it doesn't fit in my little seventh grade education mind as it does to read the King James that I've always read. And I'm going to tell you something. There's nobody in this building today has an original King James Version. You may have the 1909. Most of them are 1916 or 17. World can, I think, used to be World. You could get it from World, original King James. But you don't have the original King James. I know that offends people. Yes, I do, because it says right here. Well, read over in there where it says when it was revised. And like I said, I've got those to where that, because Brother Branham being born 1909, you know, and the things, and to do it, I've got those. But I don't use it because I've never found any difference between it and the 1917 or anything. And but I'm just putting a little history out to you that you think, I've got an original King James. It's hard to read the original King James. I've got one on my desk at home. You as a church gave it to me, and it's got the Book of Maccabees in it. It's got all things. It's about this thick and about that big. And in it is the original King James Version. All right? Now, that's just give you a little history lesson where, you know, bless God, I got a King James. It says Holy Bible, and it says right here, King James. Yeah, edited 1916. You cannot buy a Scofield original King James Bible. They don't have them. I called them. The reason I know they don't have them. What is it? Zondervan's or which one it printed? I called them to find out. But now you say, well, what are you getting at? I'm getting one thing. I believe we have God's perfect interpretation. Listen. Not because the Bible you hold in front of you. Because the prophet said, as long as it's laying in this book, it can be questioned.
Right.
Now, I didn't say that. He's the one that said it. I'm not talking about letters on a page. I'm talking about this Bible has been vindicated as to be God's Word. And when the prophet tells you this here, and it says this, but maybe it ordered a little different word, I write that down in my Bible. So I believe this message is the original Word of God that was before the foundation of the world. Well, boy, you don't live up because you don't know Brother Random was wrong from time to time. That ain't the message. It's not the message when Brother Branham preached the White Horse Rider as the Holy Ghost. That's not the message. That's a quote of a human being that was a man. Right? This message is the Word of God. That's why I believe it, and I've always taught it. I believe it's the headstone of the church, is this message. I believe the disciples had it from right here down. But they didn't have those seals. Now, we were talking about in this Bible study here the other week there. You know, Brother Branham says, talking about the seals, and he says the Ten Commandments is the seals. The Ten Commandments. Because that was what was given to Moses.
Right.
You know where Moses learned of the serpent seed? Was not Moses the one that wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, you know, first five books, you know? Where did he get it about the seed of the serpent? He got it out of the seals. You know what I just said? He got out of the Ten Commandments. I wish I could get my mind back into that thought at one time. I could take each one of those commandments and show you exactly a seal. Show you exactly marriage and divorce to the letter right out of the Ten Commandments. I mean the correct understanding. Because you see, that's what your prophet said. But we think, you know, well, it's this way. We got a bug on one of the things over here. Click one of the amplifiers is not off. It's popping. All right. But do you understand what I'm getting at? If I don't get nothing else, I want this part in your mind. I want the thoughts in your mind of one thing. That before the world ever begun, God dwelt alone. And then when he dwelt alone, he began to not just think about what he was going to do. He began to say what he was going to do. A lot of difference in just thinking about what you're going to do and saying what you're going to do. God had a plan and a purpose, right? What was that plan and purpose? Now, if he had a plan and a purpose, you better go with me because you're going to really cross him up if you don't. If he had a plan and a purpose, if God had a plan and a purpose, then you can't just say it was only in his mind. Come on. You can't just say it was only in his mind if he had a plan and a purpose. And something that he was going to achieve. Well, Brother Dale, you don't understand. He sat back there and thought about, well, I'm going to have some children. No. If we're going to believe his thoughts are eternal, you better believe his children are. Is there any problem with that? If you're going to believe his thoughts are eternal. Now, we're not talking about coming down, getting salvation, getting lost, and doing all that. We're going to cover that. But if his thoughts are eternal, then his children are eternal. because they're part of him.
Right. Yep.
Not just something he thought of. Well, I could have these children. I could do this. I could do that. No. Now, if you don't believe nothing else, or at least you know what I believe. You know, I can't convince you because that's not for me to try to do anyway. But I'm going to make it definitely what I believe. And then you can make your choice. And that way, it's not, you ask most preachers what they believe, and they're not going to tell you what they believe. They're going to pity-patter around it. They're going to go all kind of ways. They're not going to say, this is what I believe. Yeah. But I'm going to tell you what I believe. All right? And if the Bible's right, if we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, then his children are just as eternal as he is. They were just not in manifestation to where he could fellowship with them. Huh? Done pretty good fellowship with them before the foundation of the world when the morning stars sang together, sons of God shouted for joy. Done pretty good. That still wasn't what he wanted. That was the 126 and 27 man. But he never wanted us to stay that way. He didn't want us to fall and be sinners. No. But he wanted us to come into flesh. You said, well, how do you know that? Because he came into flesh.
Right.
Solved the problem. Case is done. Right?
Right.
Ever what he does would mean that's the way he's going to do it.
Right.
He didn't make it up as he come along.
That's right.
Yeah. But you just, Brother Dale, you're just too deep about your thinking. I don't understand that statement. Because even in scientific knowledge, we have a man sitting back there that can get into numbers with you. And in those numbers, he can carry you to imagination numbers. That's beyond even sensible. That's what I told him first time he told me. There ain't no sense to that. Do you understand what I'm getting at? It's not wider down at the bottom of the pyramid. I mean, at the top of the pyramid. It's wider at the bottom as you come closer to the correct knowledge. See, it would have saved man a lot of trouble if he'd have just read the Bible and found out there was a day missing in space. And then he wouldn't have no trouble with all of his rockets. Then when he wound up with trouble with his rockets, he had to search some other way to find out what was wrong. Because you can't put the rockets out there because they run into each other. They got to have them time frames and different things. But listen, church. I'm talking about an infinite God who could never have a different thought. He could never have a wrong thought and then have to change it. As I said, he didn't tell the man, I'm giving you 50, you know, you're dead. And in turn and change his mind and go back and say, I'm going to give you 15 years.
Yep.
Huh. He knew he'd take those 15 years before he ever even told him what he's going to do. But you know what? It don't change. Because you know what the thus saith the Lord was to start with?
Yep.
Set your house in order, you're going to die. Right?
Amen.
That was thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
You know, it was so great until God couldn't send a second prophet down to give the man his word again. He had to send the same prophet back. It looked like he changed his mind, but he didn't change his mind. The man, given 15 years, he just extended his lifetime. He died.
Amen.
And he would have been better off if he'd have died right there. Because he called Israel and his whole self to go into all kind of garbage. Read your Bible. God didn't change his mind. He didn't say, well, I'm going to do it this way, but I need to do it that way. No. No. He told him, thus saith the Lord, set your house in order, you're going to die.
Right.
Then he wound up giving him 15 years, he died.
Yep.
But thus saith the Lord is correct.
Amen.
He just sent his prophet back and told him, said, you're not going to die right now.
Yep.
I'm going to give you that. Okay. God's word is perfect. See? Once he says it, he can't change it. So let's get that thought for a minute. Go ahead with number one, brothers, on the notes. We'll get a few notes, a few of the quotes, because I want to, you to hear what a prophet has to say about this mind of God, which is, what does it take to make a Christian life? E40. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, word is a thought expressed. God had in his mind what to do. Listen. But when he expressed it, it had to come into existence. See, it was first a thought, right? Come on now, may I quote the prophet? He said, as long as it's a thought, it's not there. But he said, a thought has to be expressed. He said, first he gave Moses a thought. It was Moses' thought. Am I quoting Brother Branham? He said, then when Moses went out and said, let there be flies, and he said, it become the word. Right. It's not the word until it's spoken. That's why that you got to come down the channel from the great eternal God down to what? Logos, theophany, let him speak the world and come down. You got to come into the word. So that's what he's saying. He's not stumbling and misstating things. Look, God had in his mind what to do. But when he expressed it, it had to come into existence. The emphasis is not back coming in. It had to.
Right?
Right? Why? Because it was his thought. It's become a reality because it was God's word expressed. And there it was, and you take the record and all of it. There isn't enough power in all hell can ever defeat the purpose of God. If he can't change it, the devil can't do anything with it. You know, if God can't change it, the devil can't do anything with it. What? His purpose. He can't do anything with it. What he had in his mind. Satan can't do anything but help him. That's all he does. He just helps him. All right? Listen. All the powers in hell can't defeat the purpose of God. God will do it anyhow. Go ahead to the next one. Power of Transformation, preached in 1965, paragraph 71. And all could rest because of God's good word seed that he had spoke. Listen. Now, I like this because listen to his emphasis. Not to just thinking, well, you know, he didn't know. Listen to the emphasis the man is making. All right? And you'll see how simple my mind is. Because I look at what something says. But I think about what is being said. Listen to him. He brought forth of his kind. The earth come over. There was light. There was sunshine. When he let the sun shine. How much more simple can you get? Listen to him. There was sunshine when he let the sun shine. Now why didn't he make? Now why did he make the sun shine? He had in his mind, see, that if the sun don't shine, now you, listen, the flower won't grow that he's speaking to existence. Now see, now I know where your mind's tricking, so catch it. He didn't sit down and think it all out. All of this is what his mind is saying. He's staying very simple with our understanding. He's not sitting down thinking it out. Watch. He makes everything to meet its purpose. Whatever it is, like a tree, it bears a certain acorn or it bears an apple. He makes the fruit of the garden and so forth. It's all for his purpose. And everything had to come to pass. And he had spoke it. Now, the only thing he had to do after speaking it, he could go to rest because he had spoke it. And it was all has to come to pass because he spoke it. I don't know how much it had to go through before it come to pass. How many rejects and whatever more. But it had to come to pass because he said it would come to pass. He had spoke it. Now watch. The same thing is about having a church. You're in the last days. He's going to have a bride. He is able of these stones to rise children to Abraham. If we don't follow him, he'll get somebody else that'll follow him.
Amen.
Okay? Still free moral agency, right?
Yep.
See, he's going to have it because he's already spoke it. Whatever he says, it has to be that way. It cannot change. It must come forth that way because he said it would.
Amen.
The acorn bears acorns. The pine bears pines. Right. The sun rises. The thing. Because he spoke it.
Amen.
He don't have to get up every morning and say, okay, son, I'm going to speak you again. Once he spoke it, it'll do that until time ends.
That's
right. But what about his purpose? He had in his mind. See? So then I'm bringing this for one purpose. See, it's not him just sitting down, well, I can do it this way. No, it's not. But in his mind is more than just saying, oh, okay, I'll do this. Okay, I'll do that. No. If his thought is eternal, then that thought put the acorn. That thought put the pine. That thought put everything in perfect order. Right? Do you agree with that? If you agree with that, then he's going to have a bride. Because that was the same thought. Okay? Brother Dale, you tricked us. I like to do that. If this is right, then what was right with the rest of it? What did he say? Same thing is about having a church here in the last days. He's going to have a bride. He's already spoke it. It has to be that way. But remember what he said in between? If we don't make the choice, somebody else will.
Right.
What did he say one time? He said, you Pentecostal, if you won't go in. He said, God will raise up Baptists and Methodists.
Sure.
Well, you know what? I'm looking at 90% Baptists and Methodists and 10% Pentecostal or less.
Right?
Right? Some of you come through Pentecost, but the biggest portion of us are Methodists and Baptists. Or nothings. Or whatever. We have some Presbyterians slung in there too. Look. Let's read a few quotes and I'll quit. Go ahead to number 3. On a message, I know my Redeemer liveth. He's talking about Noah and the Bible and the flood and coming down and the earth was destroyed and the vegetation. Look, God's purpose can never be defeated. There is nothing can defeat it. So how happy ought we to be today? Resting upon that beautiful revelation of the Word of the living God. That there is neither things present nor things that can come. There's no sickness, no sorrow, no death, no pearls, nor nothing can separate us from the purpose of the living God. Right? What God has imagined in his mind, what God has purposed in his heart to bring to pass. Not just a thought in his mind, he purposed in his heart. Are you reading with me? There's no demon, there's no power, there's nothing can ever separate God. God's great, immortal, in his eternal plan, it must be as God has said. Can't be changed. Can't be no different. Right? So we'll get these couple of little talks and then we'll quit. Look at number four, because this is from the message. Who is this? Melchizedek. And he comes down speaking about his, in the beginning, God dwelt alone with his attributes. As I spoke of this morning, that's his thoughts. There was nothing, just God alone. He had thoughts, just like, now watch him, just like a great architect can sit down in his mind and draw out what he thinks. He's going to build. Create now. He cannot create, the architect can. He can take something that's been created and make it into a different form, because God is the only way, the only one can create. But he gets in his mind what he's going to do, and that's his thoughts. That's his desires. Remember the quote just prior? In his heart. Well, does God have a heart?
Amen.
Do you have one? Well, if you have one, is there any problem with him having one?
No.
Well, but he's just a spirit. See, that's where we go with it, right? Mm-mm. Look. And that's his thoughts. That's his desires. That's a thought. Then he speaks it. And it's a word then. And the word is, a thought when it's expressed is, it's a word. A thought expressed is a word. But it has to be a thought first. So it's God's attributes, then becomes a thought, then a word. Right? Now he describes it there as like a man, kind of with a blueprint, but now you know what he said in the Church Age book, what is it, 149? That it's not like a man with a blueprint. He's just describing God's plan. He said it's not like a man with a blueprint that sat down and figured out how to do things. He said his thoughts are eternal. See, he can't change it. There's no way to make anything different. He can't change it. I would ask you to read, before we get back Wednesday, Christ the Mystery of God Revealed, especially the first 15, 18 pages of Christ the Mystery of God Revealed, because we're going to read a good bit out of it. But Brother Brown talks about the back part of God's mind. But I hope this is enough for you to understand what I'm getting at. The things we've been talking about for months on this message of predestination being made simple, 12 messages, it's all been dealing with eternal life. And not just God thinking about something, but that those thoughts are part of him and eternal. So then if he thought of you, then his thought is eternal. Then we have to do something about it. We've got to believe it. We've got to believe what God says. He said he's going to have a bride. He's going to have one. But remember what he said. If we don't do our part, take it, then he'll just get somebody else. Well, you sure don't believe predestination, because I thought you believed it all just stamped. Uh-uh. You got to leave us with a choice. The seed is stamped. The word is stamped. It's the seed or word that comes predestinated eternally from God. God's thoughts, his mind. But if I wasn't in his mind, not just as a thought, but a part of his being, then I never will be that. Now, these impartations, foolish virgins, et cetera, Jews, fifth seal Jews, different people, will get eternal life one day. I agree with that. I believe that. But that does not make them part of the bride of Christ. Let me ask you a question. I asked Wade one the other day going hunting. What about those Old Testament saints? They're not the bride of Jesus Christ. But they could have the seed of God and be predestinated. The Old Testament signs. Could out of the seed of God be predestinated? But they're not the bride of Jesus Christ. You can call them Jehovah's bride. That's fine, because a prophet did. They didn't have eternal life back there. The little woman at the well, I've tried to get you to see this over and over, 40-something years I've tried to preach it. Brother Brown says, look at that little woman at the well. He said it was this quickened right there and made alive. That did not give her eternal life in her soul. She had to go to the upper room to get eternal life. Well, you're correcting the prophet because he said it was quit. It can be made alive. That's faith for the time. That's what your prophet called it. That's what he said she had. She had faith for the time. Simeon said, I'm not going to die until I see the Lord's Christ. Poor old blind man. Right? Wasn't he a blind man? I mean, is that correct? I believe that's right. He's a blind man. And he said, I'm not going to die till I see the Lord's Christ. Well, what was it that led him, or what happened? And all at once, he just gets up and he doesn't stumble around and fall all over everything. Get up, he gets up and he walks right down that line. He stops right in front of one little sister. And he says, Lord, now let me depart, because I've seen the Lord's Christ. Right? But that didn't give him eternal life.
Right.
He had to go to paradise and wait for one to bring him out. See, we don't think about eternal life like that. We just think of eternal life and just... You can't have eternal life without first having the death of the testator. That's what Paul says. Jesus Christ had to die to release that life, the scripture said. Because he had not been glorified, the Holy Ghost could not be given. Scripture after scripture, we line up and we see the truth. Well, see, then you mean, now here's my statement. As great as those Old Testament people were, but they never received eternal life back there, then you tell me that you would have any thought about coming into the world with eternal life without waiting on Jesus Christ or receiving Jesus Christ. You're not even mentally capable of that. That's not even mental. When those people back there, the Bible said, Paul bragging on them in Hebrews 11, sawed asunder children to done, seen the dead race, seen the sick cross the Dead Sea, walked through the waters, all of those great things that happened in those men and women's lives. But yet it never gave them eternal life. But yet you tell me. See, I'm reading, I'm saying, this is out on the internet, not as much here. And yet you turn around and tell me you come into the world with eternal life. Well, I'm saying what the prophet said. You're not saying all of what he said. He said, if you have eternal life, you always was eternal. It's just like the scripture, and we'll get to that one of these days to use in this, of over in the Little John's, where it says what? It says his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin. The prophet said, we sin every day. Go ahead. You know all about it, don't you? But the prophet says we sin every day. You sin, Brother Brown? He said, yes, every day. The Bible says his seed remaineth in it. Then who is it that can't sin? The seed. not the human being that it's in.
Amen.
Because we're born sinners.
Amen.
So the Bible's right. His seed remaineth in it, and you cannot sin. And see, that's about 10 messages down the road where that seed comes predestinated eternally. That seed never did sin. So why are you going to call it a sinner now? You see, church, we've got a long ways to go. You know what most people are out running, and I'm sorry, this is the way I am, okay. People are out running trying to find a life seed. That's wonderful. We've got to find that life seed. That's the prophet's words. There's a life seed coming in. But what about those that are already in? They've got to come to the stature of a perfect man, or else. Are you going into rapture in this day and age without the stature of a perfect man? I'm talking about the change, that life. I mean, I ain't talking about dying, going by the grave, coming up. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about the change, the moment, the twinkle of eye.
Amen.
You think the change, the moment, the twinkle of eye is going to be a bunch of novices?
No.
So let everybody else find a life seed, and we try to talk about bringing a church to the stature of a perfect man. Then the Bible's right that they, without us, cannot be made perfect. Think on these things. You say, well, what is your point today? My point's one thing. If God ever says anything, he can't change it. And what he said before the world will be what he said. And if he saw me before the world in Jesus Christ and saw my name written on the Lamb's Book of Life, there's nothing can change that.
That's right, man.
Listen, but I can delay it. Brother said something about a promise God told him. I said, brother, I want to tell you one thing. If God told you that, he can't change his mind. But I said, there ain't but one person can get in the way to where God can't work it out. And I said, that's you.
That's me.
And I said, you can get in the way of him working out his
that's
promise.
Right. Amen.
So is it with you and I. Because
right.
God will not override our free moral agency.
Right.
He still leaves us a choice. You're a born-again Christian. You still have a choice to read and pray and study. Or you can not do it. Right? Come on, musicians. Let's stand. In his mind, or the mind of God, is eternal. All I want to do is make sure that I try to walk and fulfill the things that he said that I would do. And by doing that, then I'll fulfill his will for my life. Let's just sing. Anybody has a need, the sisters will get things kind of together downstairs. And go ahead and get it going, and we can go downstairs and eat together and fellowship. You know, just have a good time. Fellowshipping together. And you know what? You said, well, you ain't said a thing about Thanksgiving. You see, the greatest Thanksgiving I can have is the fact of what he has given me. And I never pray a prayer that I don't say, thank you for saving my soul. Thank you for giving me what you've given me. Thank you for giving me my home, my family, my church. To do it. Thank you for giving that to me. Because I want him to do it. How many of you ever thank your daddy and mama for what they've done for you? Like one brother, bless God, I think. I said, nope, you wouldn't. But I said, there's one thing about it. They got you here. Do you know that without them, you would not be here? Because there's no such thing as I could have come some other way. So if you hate your parents, walk out to the grave the next time you go in and say, thank you, Mom. Thank you, Daddy, for bringing me, if nothing else. You might have been as mean as a rattlesnake and beat me every day, but thank you for bringing me. Do you ever thank God for leading you? Have you ever thanked God for pulling you out of denominationalism? Do you ever just thank Him? I mean, just cry and say, thank you, Lord. Look where I would be. I told you, I was going down the road one day and a man passed me in a car and I was thinking about him. And I said, Lord, that man is so great a man that everybody in the whole community around, everybody knew the old brother. That man had preached more funerals than I had sermons, I guess, because everybody just loved him. And I mean, he's no marks against him wasn't nothing. And when he died, I'd have forgot how many six or eight preachers had done his funeral. He was well thought of. Great man. I'm not saying he ain't in heaven. I'm just saying what I was thinking. And I thought, Lord, that was before he died. I thought, Lord, that's a great man. Why did you choose me for this message and didn't choose him? Sure, I can go through that somewhere he made a something, maybe a statement, and made fun of the truth or something. All right. That's all right. I ain't going to worry about it. My point was, Lord, I ain't worthy. He was worthy to be called above me. You don't think like that? Say, thank you, Lord. I love you. You know what? It does good. You ought to call your mom and daddies and everything. You ought to call them and tell them, say, I love you. Is there any problem with that? What do you think about your father? Go ahead, brother. What we got?
403.
Do you love your father? You know?
I've been to the water, I've been baptized, I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I've been changed from this creature that I once was, and redeemed is now my name. Well, I've been changed, I've been reborn.
Well, little bit. Go ahead and sing another. It'll take them a few minutes to get things kind of lined up where we can go eat.
Ain't God good? You give us so many blessings undeserved. That's what we are. Got to thank Him for love and praise Him today. A whole lot more tomorrow. Ain't God good? Well, ain't God good?
Say now they've actually even got proof that that brother up at Jeffersonville that Joseph and them prayed for was dead. They had a doctor there. They had paramedics and this thing. And now they say he's doing wonderful. And the next day he was out driving his car and he died that day there. Thank God for fulfilling his word. I believe it, don't you? Thank God for being with Sister Janet back there. Bringing her through her situation and time. Could have been a lot of things wrong. Thank God for healing. Thank God for deliverance. Thank God every day. My Peggy's kinfolks, cousin or something, he went out deer hunting the other day and they came and found him. And they figured the truck must have knocked out of gear and ran into him, pushed him up against a tree and killed him. Well, see, those things are instant. You don't have a lot of time to think things over. So you better make it right before then. Better know what's going on before you do anything. No, because it can happen anywhere. Right? Amen. But just thank God for the greatest thanksgiving that we could think of is for Him to reveal His word to us and allow us to be able to believe it. You just think, what did the prophet say? 1/1000th or something of 1% or something, way great number of people. It was all that heard Jesus was in the world.
Right.
It's probably smaller today to know that that God is really here.
That's it.
To know the truth, right? Thank God. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We pray what we've said has been right. We didn't know which way to go and whatever, so we just went the way we was led to go and let you have your way with our hearts and our lives. And just thank you for your word that you've revealed to us in this last day. It's a very great Thanksgiving time to us to be able to thank you, our Heavenly Father, for being what you are. Lord, just bless and guide each one of us. Be with us as we go eat a natural meal. Sanctify the food to our bodies and us into your kingdom. guide us all in your love, Lord, and then be with everybody on the way home this evening and take care of us. And let your light shine in our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. They should have everything about ready downstairs.